Good morning, everybody. It's the Ounces of Information Podcast
by Central States Beverage Company.
March edition of the Central States Ounces of Information Podcast, and oh, what a difference a couple weeks can make. I know literally just not even a month ago, Steve Moss was in here, and we were talking with snow on the ground and negative temperatures and trying to find ways to just stay warm. Now we're talking patio weather. We're talking Boulevard Ginger Lemon Rattlers out. We're talking Summer Shandy. We're talking Founders has Moss Agave Seltzer out now. And holy cow. Holidaily was featured on the podcast in February, and now it's here, and we're getting ready to send it out to market. So gluten-free beer coming your way. But that's not what we're talking about today. We will be spotlighting Summer Shandy, and we will be spotlighting a lot of what Molson Coors has here in the latter part of the podcast, because Molson Coors' very own Brett Lentz will be in to discuss everything that's going on in that quite large portfolio that we have. But right now, it's almost a total shift gear. We're not talking about beer. We're not talking about that style of alcohol. We're talking about the other part of our portfolio that's here at Central States, the local part of our portfolio, the spirits part of our portfolio, Mean Mule, Suavecito, Union Horse. Mr. Stacy Ross is here to discuss everything we have that is a higher ABV.
That it is a higher ABV, for sure, and you got to be careful with some of them.
Thank you for
Good
coming
morning.
Over. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know you were commenting on my nice little makeshift studio here in the marketing department.
It works perfectly. It's bigger than I thought it was going to be, so that's good.
Yes,
it's
picturing not a closet.
The little booth boxes like at a radio station, you know, where the producer's sitting behind, you know?
I haven't got my recording light on yet, so or installed or anything like that. So if somebody walks in, we'll just have to shoo them away.
I'll just wave them. No, stay away.
I'm talking. So we're going to talk about the spirits here for a little bit, because you know, it's not like they don't get attention. They do.
Yeah.
And we love them, but this is part of that love. So let's talk about what we have coming up here in our Central States spirits portfolio.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, you know, we're mainly a beer house, and you know, that's the bulk of our volume. My little division, you know, is small, but what we have is great, and we try and focus on local and boutique items. You know, like you mentioned, Union Horse and Mean Mule, both of those are made here in Kansas City. You know, great products, a lot of representation out there, and those guys do great at helping us make sure that there's exposure to both of them. And, you know, the other main one that we do is Suavecito Tequila, small family-owned company, headquartered in Denver. And then the owner actually had some agave fields in Mexico. And that's kind of how he got into the business as a retirement project.
Okay.
So, like I said, little niche boutique stuff. And then a couple of non-alcoholics fall under my realm, like a Morningwood Bloody Mary mix up out of Iowa.
Delicious.
It is good. We all have our favorite Bloody Mary mixes, and this one is making a new dent. And then we've got the Cock and Bull Ginger Beer. You always need ginger beer around for those Moscow Mules.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I know, you know, we haven't talked much because, you know, COVID, getting interaction here is not always the most preferred way. I should say that just like all the other podcast recordings, this is in a studio that is well ventilated. We have sanitized the place. We are wearing masks. So not over by any stretch of the means.
It is not. There's light at the end of the tunnel, maybe.
There is. A lot of good news
going
on.
This weather makes it feel better.
It does. I enjoy this time outside. Maybe we need to set up a studio out there. But
there you go.
We're inside right now. However, let's talk a little bit about Union Horse. You said local. Lenexa, specifically.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not even realize that they're just down the street on I-35.
They are. Just a little business, you know, unassuming business park, as I call it, right there at like 86th Terrace in Quivira. Beautiful facility. They've got an event facility there, and their distillery side and their rack house is great. I mean, and what they do there, it's been... Wow, those guys have been... I think this is 10 years now since release of product. 2011.
They Happy kinda, anniversary.
Right? Yeah. So you might see some stuff coming from those guys this year, but we had some conversations this week. I'm not at liberty to say all of it, but there might be some stuff in the pipeline for this.
Stacey, it's just you and me here.
I know.
You
know
you can drop
just
these secrets.
They can't hear us out there. No,
not at all. This isn't going to go anywhere. It's between you and I.
Yeah, for sure. Like my wife signed up for this last night. I'm like, great. Thanks, honey.
Awesome. So like you said, you know, small establishment, but serious bourbon.
Yes.
Yes. Serious whiskey, serious vodka. Mm-hmm. Ryder vodka is fantastic. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that portfolio. They've got how many whiskeys are on shelves right now?
Right now, they produce 5 year round, 4 that are aged. They started out with their bourbon and their rye whiskeys. They were actually putting those away in barrels and creating the recipes, mash bills, before they even brought out Ryder vodka. So those have been, you know, their main source and their main focus, I would like to say, of what they do over there. And the fifth whiskey that they have year round is the white whiskey, barely aged. 120 minutes, maybe.
Oh wow! Oh wow!
So you get all the you get the funk of a mash bill, of a sour mash bill, but it's so clear and it's white.
If whiskey can be fresh, that is as fresh as it gets.
Almost like right off the still.
<That's nuts. laughs> Real quick, without even thinking about it, best Union Horse cocktail you make?
Ooh, that I make.
Yep.
Boulevardier, equal parts of the Reunion Rye whiskey, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Oh, okay.
Got all a little herbal funk to it. You've got the rye whiskey to give you a little punch and some grain because their whiskey's 93 proof.
I know it's 10 a.m., but...
Sounds good, doesn't it?
A little bit.
It's 11 in New York. We're fine.
Oh, that's it. East Coast. That's how we record here. It's on East Coast time. But Union Horse got a lot of great stuff. Got a lot of great stuff coming up. 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
Is that distribution or open?
Release of product. Released Ryder Vodka and Longshot White Whiskey in March of 2011. 2 years later, 3 years later, they released in 2013. So 2 years later, they released their first two whiskeys.
Lovely.
Aged whiskeys.
Good stuff. That was actually a nice little welcome gift to me when I moved to Kansas City 8 years ago now with some Union Horse whiskey. Yeah. And the Reunion Rye was the trick.
Those guys have done a fabulous job over there. What they do, I mean, they're dedicated to the craft, you know. Like every whiskey that they produce starts with a 1,000-pound bag of grain. And they weigh out the mash bills on their scales over there. They run it through the yager into the masher and then into the fermenters, and they do it all right there. So it's like literally you're starting with, like, let's take their rye, for example. It's a 100% rye whiskey. There's no other barleys added to it. Some rye whiskeys out there, a majority of them have like 5% to 10% barley in them. Softens the rye, but the rye is a really hard grain to work with, and it needs the barley to help break it down in the mashing process.
Okay. Yeah.
And they use an enzymatic process that helps keep it in the mash together without breaking down. It can turn into oatmeal real easy if they're not careful.
Gotcha.
And then, it's just a powerful whiskey, and they're dedicated to doing that with all their whiskeys. Even their bourbon is grain to glass across the board.
So the beauty of this stuff is if you want to see the process, Union Horse is very open about it. You can go and check them out at the distillery,
like
we mentioned, in Lenexa. But if you just want to go out and drink a nice, good, local cocktail, it's widely available anyway.
Yeah.
Missouri, Kansas side right now.
Everywhere, yeah. No, their bourbon is their best seller right now. I mean, that whiskey is on fire. It's crazy. Our numbers are double digits every year, crawling. It's not slowing down. And it's great. And their whiskeys their whiskeys have aged more.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything in bottle now is at least 5 years old.
I don't feel like it's too much of a stretch to say 2020 has increased my drinking volume and a little bit on the stronger side as well. So
my glass recycling company is beginning to worry about me, let me tell you.
Oh, you're the number one customer. It's great.
Right? Yeah, I am on our block at least.
Not the only local spirit that we have in house though, and we need to talk of course about our friends in the Crossroads over at Mean Mule Distilling Company as well.
Yeah, that's relatively new for us. We brought those guys on about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, and it's a agave spirit that they make there in-house at like 17th and Locust-ish over by Parlor and Grinders and that stuff down the Crossroads. So, yeah, it's a spirit that's very unique.
Yes. So they obviously pull the agave from elsewhere, not here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mean Mule agave spirits are similar to a tequila, but they cannot be called a tequila because they are not produced in Mexico.
Yes.
They use the same Blue Weber agave that they used in Mexico to produce tequila. It's just a little bit younger agave, which they've come up with a fermentation process and a special yeast strain to where they ferment it there in-house at the distillery. And then it takes about 3 weeks-ish. Not very climate controlled in their warehouse, so they kind of let it do its thing. And then they've got a still that they made themselves, multi-plate, and distill it.
I spent some time in that tasting room myself. Most of them I can remember. It's a very, very good time. Yeah. That good spot there in the crossroads, like you mentioned, it's a great location as well. Yeah. We've got two SKUs of Mean Mule, silver and gold.
Silver and gold, yeah.
And two different formats of bottles now, very recently as
well. We do, yeah, yeah. We just, last month, released pints, so 375 milliliters.
Yeah.
Just slowly entering the market right now. Their gold is really good. It's aged 8 weeks in Missouri American oak barrels. So it's good stuff. And that silver, it'll make a meat margarita. It's awesome.
So good.
Kind of hides a little bit.
You mentioned the margarita. I guess it would be amiss if we didn't say that it is the margarita spirit that is featured in Fling Margaritas.
It is. That it is.
So, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. They partnered up right at the launch on that one, and it's done great for them.
Ready to drink?
Yeah.
Fling craft cocktails out of Boulevard Brewing. It's so good.
That, when they came out with those, I was like, what? Boulevard's going into the cocktail business? You know, I've been looking at that section because we'd had another brand at one time, and it was like, holy cow. And that they have done amazing with those. That Blood Orange and the Gin and Tonic are my two favorites out of the whole line.
Oh, man. Yeah, we can go all day talking about Boulevard Beverage Company for sure.
For
all those
sure,
Fling
definitely.
Craft cocktails. Let's talk a little bit about Suavecito as well, the actual imported tequila, correct?
Yes. Yep. It is an actual imported tequila. Yeah, the owner of the company, he'd sold his company and was looking to, you know, retire and do some projects and this and that. And one of his workers at his company had some family in Mexico that wanted to sell their agave farm. So he was or have a partner in it. So he's like, yeah, I'll partner up with you and this and that. And several years down the road, he decided he wanted to make his own tequila as a retirement project. And
it's nice.
Here we have Suavecito Tequila, only in about 5 or 6 states right now. And they've been around since probably, I'm wanting to say, about 2012.
It is fantastically smooth tequila.
Their little process they have.
As advertised.
There's an agave nectar added into it, which helps smooth it out, which is just, if you're not a tequila drinker, you're going to love this stuff.
That's a good way of putting it.
It doesn't have that little tequila bite that a lot of us remember and just make that weird face. You know, it'll go down smooth. And, and their Añejo is amazing.
Definitely not the kind of tequila that you you found on the shot roulette wheel back in college.
It is not. The one that made us all stop drinking tequila until we were 30 again.
Welcome back.
Exactly, right?
It's a very smooth welcome. They you can find them online, Smooth Suavecito or Suavecito.
Suavecito, yep.
But it very much is smooth and definitely worth the venturing out. Like you mentioned, we don't have the biggest spirits portfolio by any stretch of the means, but it means business.
It means business, and, you know, the companies we represent are great companies, and, you know, I like trying to keep the focus on those guys and trying to help them grow and build more, you know. There's family behind all three of them, you know, those three guys, and they do all the work, you know, and it's great to see, and, you know, especially, you know, the Union Horse people are from Kansas City here, and so are the Mean Mule people and guys, and it's just, they put so much, you know, effort into it, and they love those products that it's great to see, and listen to their stories.
Yeah. Real quick, because I kind of glossed over it. We hit it with the Union Horse, but the cocktail for Mean Mule would be?
Their Paloma. They have an awesome, they make an awesome Paloma down there.
That's fair.
And if you want to go simple and easy, just use a little Jarritos, the grapefruit soda.
I genuinely hope everyone's pausing this conversation and writing these things down, because Stacy is dropping straight knowledge here that is delicious, delicious. Cocktail recipes. Suavecito cocktail. What do you got?
Suavecito. That's an interesting one. I like to drink it straight.
It is smooth.
I don't need a margarita with it. But if you want to get a little crazy, you can make a Manhattan with a Añejo.
Okay.
Just sub your whiskey portion with the tequila, the Añejo. Keep your sweet vermouth in there the same. I do a little bit more tequila for a little more bite. Wonderful cocktail.
This is the ultimate example of how diverse our portfolio for spirits can be. If you just want to sit there and drink something smooth, sip on it, put an ice cube in it.
Exactly.
You got it. If you want to get real complex with it and be the next master chef, bartender, whatever. I don't know. I'm going to.
Something like that. Yeah.
You can.
Maybe we can create that, you know?
Master Chef Bartender. I think there's a word for it, and it's slipping my tongue right now.
I've lost my bar skills. I've been out of the restaurant business way too many years now to work that fast behind a bar anymore.
There's time.
There is.
Is there any hobbies or habits you picked up during the pandemic that you want to continue with here in 2021?
You know, not really. I mean, my wife and I kind of got bored.
Yeah.
You know, we did all the house projects, this and that, like, you know, like everybody has been doing.
Of course.
You know, the summertime for us, though, it's like we've got a family lake property that we can go to. So, you know, and it's close to the city. So on the weekends for us, it was bearable because we had a secondary place to go to and just kind of hang a little bit, you know, with family and this and that. But, yeah, no, nothing really crazy. We started cooking more. We've always cooked at home a lot, but
yeah,
got a little more, you know, creative with it, let's say.
Yes.
You know, some different recipes that were like, that's too hard to do. Well, now we have time.
It's very true. Very true. Spirits, of course, obviously pair well with these meals as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So
yep.
Definitely worth checking out. Stacy, again, thank you so much for taking the time to come on over.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
I know it's a long walk across the parking lot here.
It's so far over here. I'm just glad the sun's out today.
That's very true. Like I was saying, a couple of weeks ago, this would not be the same story.
A couple of weeks ago? No. Uh-uh. You'd have been coming over to my site and set up studio.
That's very true. Well, we've got Brett Lentz in studio here coming up next as part of this podcast. But yeah. Stick around for that, and otherwise, go get some Suavecito, go get some Mean Mule, go get some Union Horse. Let's drink. Content-wise, is there anything off limits?
I mean, not really.
Ooh, big mistake, buddy. You done messed up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get right into it then.
Okay.
This is the March interview edition of the Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States. My name is Aaron, and with me today is a man many should know, Mr. Brett Lentz from Molson Coors.
Thanks, Aaron. It's good to be here.
This is like the most anticipated podcast we've had in our very long and tenured history of podcasts here in this company.
You know, there's been a lot of buzz.
Mainly just the two of us talking back and forth.
A lot of buzz between the two of us in emails and text.
We're our own best hype men, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've been quietly watching the post come out, wondering when I'm going to get my chance on this thing. And here we are in March, a little... I don't want to say it's later than I thought it would be,
but come on.
Just happy to be here. I'm happy to be here, and I'm impressed you guys have launched this thing, and it is going great. I've listened to a few of them, and I've been very impressed.
That was deserved, I guess. I knew it was coming. You were going to give me a little bit of a hard time for waiting until March to bring you in.
Well, you had some big guns before me.
But you're here. You're here now. And a big part of that was because what better way to kind of start hyping up the fact that we're going to have opening day within a matter of weeks and the Royals are back and they're looking good than to bring in Miller Lite?
That's a good point, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Miller Lite. What we got going on in 2021?
You know, I think you're with both Miller Lite and Coors Lite, not to jump ahead to Coors Lite, but you're going to see us significantly invest in both those brands this year, even more than we did in 2020. I mean, what we've been doing is working between Coors Light and Chill and, you know, driving Miller Lite. And I think you're going to see us shift our messaging a little bit on Miller Lite to something that I think is exciting, which is really geared towards a light beer for people who like beer, you know, and kind of leaning into that taste messaging. And, you know, we'll still talk about carbs and calories and things like that, but, you know, you'll see messaging shift a little bit, and, you know, you'll see us go out big with the Royals partnership. So we got a bunch of exciting stuff behind Miller Lite, and especially locally. We do so much with it here in Kansas City and put such an investment behind it. And, I mean, between Central States, I mean, you guys have invested in it for so long and, you know, been such a big supporter of it that, you know, we just have a lot of exciting stuff coming up with it.
You know, we talk about it pretty regularly on this podcast and just around the office and beyond that. Of all the constant new things that are coming to market in the world of beer and in the world of seltzer, which we'll obviously delve into here in just a few, but, you know, from the Molson Coors portfolio to beyond that, it's always something new, always something cool, and always something flashy, and that's great, and we enjoy that. But there's also a lot of people that, like, will have that, but alongside it, you got to go back to Old Faithful. You got to go back to Miller Lite. Got to go back to Coors Lite.
Yeah, and I think you saw a lot of people do that this last year through the pandemic. You know, I think one thing we saw through 2020 was, you know, when people were very uncertain about what was going on, and especially early on, going to brands that they trusted. you know, and that was a big deal out there at retail, and we saw it in the numbers, specifically in the off-premise. They know Coors Light, they know Miller Lite, and they know what they're getting, and, you know, we just, it did really well. We gained share, we grew, and so I think we just need to build on that in 2021.
It's really funny that you kind of bring that up, because this is, for most people, this is the day. This is like the one-year anniversary. We're recording this March 11th. It'll probably be uploaded to the website here very shortly after, but March 11th for me and a lot of people that I've talked to and a lot of people you can tell on social media today, especially, this was the moment when we realized that this pandemic wasn't going to go away or be just a thing that we brush off.
Yeah.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah, because it was this time last year, I think I was, I remember running on the treadmill at the gym and just seeing the scroller up on the TV of everything just getting canceled.
Yeah.
You know, the Big 12 included.
Sitting there on the treadmill, just breathing air left and right, being like, am I okay?
Yeah, should I get out of here? Maybe I shouldn't be here.
We went pretty draconian pretty quick there, but obviously a year of lessons has brought us to this point, and very excited to be the light at the end of the tunnel sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we're going to continue to, you know, as more and more people get vaccinated and things seem to be looking up, there seems to be that light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like you see it in people's attitudes and people out and about and driving around, and obviously still safety measures to be followed, but it does feel like people are getting a little bit more comfortable.
I think it's the way that we've interacted and up until this point, it's kind of symbolic that the one thing that we're talking about, the one thing we're leading off here is that, you know, Miller Lite at Kauffman Stadium is the moment that everybody's kind of looking forward to. Been touring Kauffman Stadium the last couple of weeks, getting it ready and up to speed for this season, and there's some really cool stuff that we're talking about here with the Royals partnership.
Yeah, so Sheila, you know, obviously our field marketing manager, in combination with you guys and Carrie, I mean, you guys have done a lot in that stadium out there that's going to be brand new for people to see. You know, the cold drink rails, or, you know, I know we'll talk about seltzers a little bit later, but the nice build out we'll have out there with Vizzy. You know, and I think we're going to have a new photo opportunity with Miller Lite out there by the fountain bar. So there's just a lot of cool stuff that's going to go on out there when people get out and see it.
Let's go back to that first one really quick, because I do want to spotlight that just a second. The cold drink rails, specifically for people who don't know, what are you talking about?
So out at the Miller Lite fountain bar, this has been, Sheila could talk about it better, but this has been a few years in the making of, you know, targeting the drink rails, getting them purchased, working on getting them made and installed. And my understanding is they are finally installed. But so around the fountain bar out there in left field, you should be able to set your drink down on the rail, and it will keep it chilled for you. So in those hot summer days, stake out your spot out at the fountain bar and keep your drink cool.
I think those hot summer days are a notable thing, a memorable thing to many out there on the Miller Lite fountain bar, knowing how hot it gets out there. Having those cold drink rails is a game changer. It's very, very cool. I did see them out there whenever I was out there last week, and they work.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
Okay, good.
Could also be the negative temperatures that we were in. I assume that, you know, it'll be the same whenever it's 90 degrees.
Yeah, well, and when you think about the fountain bar, too, I'm trying to think of when all the remodel and renovation took place to the fountain bar, but I think that was the 2019 season. And then, obviously, nobody was out there for 2020, so there's still so much of the fountain bar that's going to be new to people that haven't really had the chance to experience it either.
Very true. Good point. Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. And that's not only the exciting thing that's going on with the big boys. We talk about Miller Lite and the Royals, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with Coors Light too. You mentioned the Chill campaign. There's a very good local endorser for Coors Light that is tweeting his love and appreciation for it while in between throwing touchdowns.
Yeah. How cool is that? That you know, we happen to have Patrick Mahomes as a fan of Coors Light.
Yeah, a genuine fan.
Yeah, and I think the relationship happened very naturally in that he's a genuine fan that was drinking Coors Light, and, you know, I think some connections were made and a more formal relationship evolved out of that. But
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's very, very cool for us. And obviously someone in my position is always asking, what more can we do? how can we get him a home standee and put that out at retail? And we got to pump the brakes on that. And there's, you know, there's obviously only so many things we can do right now. And I don't even know what all those are. You know, that's held by more folks with our sports an entertainment team, and you know, Patrick's not calling me up, making plans with me.
Would it be nice though?
That would be nice.
Sign a multi-million-dollar extension and show up in your backyard with a pack of Coors Light.
Yeah, we would drink those. We would drink those, but just having him, any of the tweets he sent out and any of the, you know, the social posts, and just being an influencer for that brand to a certain extent is just so cool, especially for someone like myself that grew up in Kansas City and is a big Chiefs fan. I mean, you know, able to merge sort of work and personal taste in football teams is pretty cool.
Yeah, man. It's crazy how many conversations have started because one mystery person decided to throw a Coors Light on the championship bus that Mahomes caught and shotgunned on the spot.
Yeah.
Thank you, mystery person. Was it you, Brett? Was it you? Are you the mystery person? It was you?
Yes, it was.
Oh, we found the mystery guy.
The big reveal of the podcast. It was, no, I was not down there. I was watching on television.
Oh, man. See, we were about to pack it up because it wasn't getting better than that.
Yeah. No, but it is funny, you know, think about your own buddies and the relationships that you have outside of work, you know, where... You know, I get a text every now and again about, hey, I saw this new item out there, or this or that. But when a Patrick Mahomes Coors Light tweet goes out, you know, I get blown up.
Yeah.
People couldn't be more interested in what I'm doing with Coors Light. When he sent out that that post with him in the Coors Light onesie.
Merry Christmas.
Got a lot of onesie requests after that from friends and family.
Yeah, it's incredible. The guy's got a name behind him.
Yeah, he does.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's very cool.
There's that's obviously, you know, a lot going on with Miller Lite, a lot going on with Coors Light. Always has, always will be. These guys are staples. They're always in the back of the fridge, if not the forefront. Might be the only thing you drink. Doesn't matter. Love you either way. But there's so much cool new things coming down as well. And I think the buzzword that everybody's kind of starting to mention as the weather's heating up is that this is the summer of seltzer. Let's go into that a little bit because Molson Coors has some big heavy hitters here with Vizzy and Coors Seltzer.
Yeah. I mean, seltzers, when you look at our portfolio strategy, it really is leading with Miller Lite and Coors Light. I mean, you'll see that in our investment. You'll see it in our programming and everything we just talked about. But really, number two is driving our seltzers. And it's just such a big initiative for us. And I know we've publicly stated our goal is to become a 10 share of seltzers, which obviously there's some pretty pretty big competitors out there that are in your house. You know, but I think it's a goal that we're confident that we can get to, and we've got a really great lineup, like you said, with Vizzy and Coors Seltzer. We've got one in Vizzy that, you know, has a really significant point of difference versus the others with the antioxidant vitamin C. It can kind of lead that better-for-you space out there. We've got orange packaging, which sort of stands out in that sea of sameness or sea of white, and we've seen that on display over the course of this last year. And when you look at Vizzy, I mean, one thing I would call out is that, you know, it finished the year as the number five seltzer nationally, and we didn't launch it until April. You know, we launched it
in
a pandemic when we couldn't sample it and couldn't drive the trial the way that we ordinarily would, utilizing the tools at our disposal, whether it's sampling teams or like we're going to do, quite frankly, for opening day, we're going to sample 1,000 people, you know, out at Kauffman Stadium.
Right, you weren't supposed to say that.
Oh, is that a secret?
That was supposed to be a secret.
Cut that out.
I'll definitely wink.
No, it's cool. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that we launched it during what it was a tough time to launch new brands and create awareness and drive trial, and it was successful, you know, and so we're excited about what year two is going to bring behind that. You know, we're obviously going to launch a couple new packages, which we can clearly talk about here today. We're going to scale up our media, and, you know, we're just going to keep pushing it and getting it on display and getting distribution, and, you know, it's going to be a key component of our seltzer strategy.
Yeah, man. You know what? Let's talk about what's coming down the line with Vizzy here. So we've got the second variety pack that just hit shelves last week, I think, with some pretty impressive flavors.
Yeah. So we just launched variety pack number two, and we're kind of staying in what you've come to expect from Vizzy with the dual fruit flavors. So that's kind of a staple for us. So we'll have a papaya passion fruit, a blackberry lemon, a watermelon strawberry, a raspberry tangerine. You see us sort of sticking with the theme of Vizzy there. And the great thing about variety pack number two is that the flavors tested even better than variety pack number one.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. So, you know, not always a given that means that it's going to shoot to success out there at retail, but it's a pretty good indicator that, you know, at least builds confidence in why the team should be out there getting it on the shelf and getting it next to Vizzy. But the other thing it does is it allows us to have a bit of a shelf presence, you know, because again, when we talk about the success that we saw in 2020, it was with one package. I shouldn't say one package. We had a 6-pack pineapple mango that certainly didn't drive the boat for us on the Vizzy franchise. And we have some 24-ounce cans, but...
Well, and all data shows that there's heavy interest towards variety packs in general, too. Like, that's the driving force here behind seltzers and flavored anything, really.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very good point. The bulk of the volume was in that one package, and now we've got a Vizzy variety pack, too, that we can set right next to it on the shelf. And now we're creating a bit of a shelf presence for Vizzy.
And I like, and we'll obviously get into Coors Seltzer here as well, but I like the two-prong approach that you're kind of hitting the seltzer world with, because in this day and age, it's on the one hand, you can break it down to a base structure of it's just sparkling flavored water. How innovative can you get? And there's a lot of them, Vizzy included, and it is in Coors Seltzer as well, that are pushing that envelope in their own right, but everybody else's as well. What makes Vizzy differentiate is the vitamin C, the acerola superfruit, but also the partnerships with, like, the Human Rights Campaign and some of the things that are going on with the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, I know we just announced in, I think it was October of last year, the $1 million that Vizzy was given to the Human Rights Campaign and the partnership that they're going to continue with. I know we've got some big plans this year to support the LGBTQ plus community. I think hopefully here in Kansas City, I don't know what the status is on, you know, if Pride is happening or not, or what that event will look like.
It's a lot of TBD.
Okay.
A lot of TBD in the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hard to know what events are happening or not, but certainly if it is, and, you know, us and Central States being a longstanding partner, there's definitely a place for Vizzy in that mix with just the relationship that we have. So yeah, I mean, there's ways that we're setting ourselves apart, and that's what you have to do in this space. You know, I think we recently had on the Molson Coors blog a post about seltzers, and I think they mentioned that at last count there was maybe 156 brands, which almost blew my mind.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Certainly, we're not seeing them all right here in Kansas City.
Sure.
But I feel like anytime I go out to retail, I see one that I've never seen before and go, wow, when did that come out? So you have to set yourself apart.
It's definitely been the... not quite hazy IPA, not quite, you know, trend in the beer beverage, malt beverage world that everybody was expecting. It just took off and it stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I want to say when we launched a seltzer, 4 years ago now? You know, we all launched in bottles and quickly learned that the consumer didn't want bottles. they wanted a slim can. You know, I was a skeptic 4 years ago. You know, do people want this? Is this the drink that everybody wants? And now you'll find me picking up a seltzer 12-pack, bringing it home to the house, and it's the first thing we go through.
Setting that 12-pack down on the kitchen shelf going, do people really want this, though?
Yeah, I mean, the category's come a long way since it launched, and it's been interesting to see how it plays out, even with different... You know, with different price tiers now within the category.
Yeah.
You know, at first it was, you know, everyone's lined up, and now you've got economy seltzers, you've got high ABV seltzers, you've got popular brand seltzers, whether it's Coors Light Seltzer, obviously, for us, or Bud Light or Corona, and now Mick Ultra. You've got, you know, the higher end, so it's really shaking out like the rest of the, you know, like the rest of the categories.
For sure.
Within beer, so.
There's one more Vizzy variety pack we got to talk about. That's supposed to be coming down the pipeline here, and I might be pressing this a little further than anticipated, but what about Vizzy Lemonade?
So, yes, we will be launching a Vizzy Lemonade variety pack. It'll launch in April, so should be hitting your guys' warehouse any day now, you know, and there's no reason to, on our end, to necessarily hold that for April 1st. So I think for those folks from the sales team that are listening, you know, when that comes in, I'm sure the team here will figure out what the release date is and start getting it out to retail, but that's one that we're very, very excited about, and, you know, I don't have to tell you or anybody within Central States the power of a lemonade pack,
because that's very true.
You guys just saw it happen in 2020 with Truly's pack, and obviously there's been a lot of other folks come into that space outside of your house and now within. Mm-hmm. But it's something that the consumers clearly said that they want. You know, I'm just glad we're getting into the same space. And again, it's another package for us that helps our shelf presence. And, you know, instead of being in that orange package, it's a bright yellow package. Think about putting that on display now. With Vizzy, you got the three variety packs.
Yeah.
You've got the orange, you've got the yellow. It's going to make for some impactful displays.
Can't miss it, that's for sure. So that's, you know, a lot coming down the pipeline from Vizzy. But you mentioned the namesake seltzer brand, too, with Coors Seltzer, which also launched in a pandemic. which also took off like crazy. And it's also that other part of the two-pronged approach where you do have the namesake seltzer, but also it's a seltzer that's got a mission behind it, restoring 500 gallons of water, clean water, to America's riverways every single pack that's purchased.
Yeah, it's a big goal, you know? And it fits in with just the Coors brands in general. You know, Coors has always, you know, been a leader in sustainability. And so when you look at how water fits in with Coors Seltzer, you know, it was just a natural fit. And it's something that the millennial and Gen Z consumer care about a cause, as do we. So it ties in well there, obviously, with the target that we're going after. And you'll see us continue to push that. I think the other thing you're going to see is that we're going to start talking about refreshment as well. And that's across the whole Coors family. Because when you think about Coors, you know, I think the message that we've driven for years behind that is refreshment. So water will continue to be a theme of Coors Seltzer, but you'll also see it tweak a little bit as we move forward into refreshment as well.
You know, that's a really good point, especially when it comes to Coors, because if you're a Coors drinker, or even if you've been to, you know, Golden, Colorado, to the brewery and seen the surrounding that it goes and operates out of, you know that water is really the driving force behind this beer. It should be, honestly, the driving force behind any beer, because that's the main ingredient in any beer. But Coors really, really puts an emphasis on that. That was why the brewery was founded where it was. It was an awesome source of clean water for brewing. And they've kind of been that way from this point throughout. So it makes sense with the Coors Seltzer brand to put an emphasis behind giving back towards that clean water and restoring some of what, you know, we as humans have done. But in addition, you talk about some of the other innovations with Coors. Coors Pure is to that point kind of the same vein, where it's not just the clean water that we're using, but also clean ingredients.
Yeah. And so Coors Pure is another one that essentially hitting shelves right now. And, you know, also very exciting to think about is just the Coors family of brands displays that will now exist out at retail, and the option that the sales team has as you think about the Coors brands. You know, in the past, it's, hey, let's make sure we get Banquet on Coors Light displays, and now it's, let's make sure we get Banquet and Coors Seltzer and Coors Pure on Coors Light displays.
Easy task. It's fine. Yeah.
So easier said by me on this podcast than done probably out at retail. But it does allow for some pretty impactful Coors family of brands displays. And yeah, Coors Pure is one that we're excited about that really has three simple ingredients. You know, it's got organic hops, organic barley, and water. So very simple, USDA certified organic.
Big deal. Yep.
Yeah, not a lot of beers out there have that logo on the packaging.
It's a hard one to get.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I know how one gets it.
a lot of money under the table.
I just know we did. We did get it.
That is a huge get. In all seriousness, like, joking aside, that's not something that you see on a label and just scoff at. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the consumer that we're talking to in that space pays attention to it. You know, they want clean organic ingredients, they want quality, they want, you know, they focus on nutrition, they might, you know, they'll pick quality and nutrition over a price point. So, you know, that consumer that we're talking to, it is a big deal for.
Yeah. As speaking for the entire millennial race, yes, I agree. This is a very big deal to us, Brett.
That's, you know what? That's thoughtful. That is.
But okay. So, you know, seltzer, Coors, a lot of stuff going on. That's not the only thing going on. We need to talk about the other one that just took off during the pandemic as well, with Blue Moon and particularly Light Sky. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very welcome addition to the Blue Moon family, yeah. I think, by not only us, but distributors, retailers, customers. And that one's been crazy. That's one that I felt really good about. You know, sometimes you have new items coming out and nobody really knows. You know, you do everything you can to set yourself up for success. And I have complete faith in all of the folks on our innovation teams and brand teams and the testing they do and they work through. And at the end of the day, not everything always works out there. But Light Sky is one that, just from the moment we said we were launching it, you know, you just knew it was going to be a winner, I feel like. And sure enough, it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got it out there. And, you know, I think the only thing we could wish for is that we had the ability to make more of it in 2020 with the demand that there was for it. And the good news for folks in 2021 is that we do have the ability to make more.
Yes. So, oh, so good to hear.
Yeah, we've brought it into the Milwaukee brewery. It was made at our 10th Street brewery, and because of the brewing process, and it's dry hops, so we couldn't make it anywhere else. And now we're able to make it in Milwaukee, and we've basically significantly expanded the capacity on on it, and shouldn't be anybody lacking for Blue Moon Light Sky going into 2021. So
that's
we gotta,
a good thing to hear. I obviously in a distributor like us, we a lot of innovative products come in and out throughout the course of the year, and it's all good. Obviously, you know, we believe in it. That's why we're selling it. But Blue Moon Light Sky was probably my favorite beer to come out of 2020, personally.
Are you? Is that because I'm sitting right here?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to listen back to some other podcasts and see what you've told other guests.
I like how you were making sure I was making eye contact on that directly. But no, I mean it. I'm dead serious. Blue Moon Light Sky was fantastic. My wife appreciates it. Everybody I know, I've never heard a bad thing about Blue Moon Light Sky. And the sales numbers reflect it, clearly.
Yeah, and we still have such a huge opportunity. I mean, I think one thing that, that those of us who deal with it every day tend to forget sometimes is that there's still people that don't know about Blue Moon Light Sky.
Yeah.
You know, there's still people that don't know about Visi. For us, our big task is making sure that they find out about it, whether it's through distribution or display or taking advantage of opportunities that we have to sample, like, you know, whether it's at Kauffman Stadium or, you know, venues as they open back up that we're, you know, that we have a presence within. And yeah, sometimes we get old or we feel like we get a little tired talking about stuff and we realize other people still don't even know about it yet.
Yeah, no, it's very true. It's a good point. It's you always take for granted, especially in this industry, like that just everybody immediately is in the loop on the same page at the same time.
Not so much. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of consumers out there we got to reach.
And
we
throw a lot of stuff out there. So, you know, it's sometimes it takes a while to stick. Sometimes it speeds up like Blue Moon Light Sky has, but there's still plenty of room for growth. You're right.
Yeah, and even when you look at it, I mean, I know, you know, from a supplier standpoint, we talk a lot about distribution, and I'm sure the sales team and the sales managers get a little sick of distribution. But, I mean, we all know that's the key to driving these brands, and we still have an upside on, you know, on these packages, Light Sky and Visi and Coors Seltzer, and we've been out there, you know, pushing distribution. You guys have been increasing that, and you know, from the chain support side of things, we're getting in more chain sets this year, obviously, as well. So you're going to see that ramp up, and it's just going to be more available to people in 2021.
A lot of good stuff, and a lot of good familiar stuff that is also starting to pop up around this time of year. I know for some people, the sign that things are warming up and becoming more accessible outdoors is the groundhog or just the temperatures, whatever. For us, I think a lot of us anyway, the sign that warmer patio times are coming is the launch of Summer Shandy.
Yes.
I don't need no groundhog. I got a liney.
You know, how good does it sound to find a patio right now in 70-degree weather?
I don't know what we're doing in here right now, Brett, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a good point. I was just following your protocol. I'm doing what I'm told.
We should have done this outside. How dumb. Get some Summer Shandy and make it happen. No, it's very good to see Liney Summer Shandy back, and I know it's already moving out the warehouse right now.
Yeah, you know what? I tried to get you guys to bring it in and sell it in December.
After we ran out in September. So.
You held me off. You held me at bay a little bit. And it's obviously rolling out now. And, you know, the weather couldn't be any better for it, at least this week, for to get it out there. And yeah, at least anecdotally, you know, from talking to the sales team and folks in the on-premise, it's moving. People want it, and you know, it grew like crazy last year during the pandemic. And again, I think that's another brand that, as we look at people going to trusted brands, is one of those that falls into that consideration set. It's a brand that people know, that people love, that they've been drinking for several years. And as you start to make your way back to the on-premise, you know, clearly some people have been in the on-premise more than others. Some are just now coming back to it. Some might hold off and come back a little bit later. You know, everybody has their own, you know, their own protocol on that. But as you come back, I mean, you're going to look for something like a Blue Moon or a Miller Lite or a Coors Lite or a Summer Shandy. So I think we have a huge opportunity on Summer Shandy this year to grow it in a way that, you know, maybe we hadn't a few years ago as things started to slow down a little bit on it, especially with the rise of the seltzers.
Yeah, got a lot of that. And you know, lemonade clearly works. So, you know, what's more lemonade than a shandy?
Yeah. I mean, what better than when you go out to retail or when the pictures start to flow in, especially from the team at Central States that has always done an amazing job getting Summer Shandy displays. In fact, there's two display pieces sitting right behind your head.
Yeah.
Good call out for a podcast that nobody else can see. Guys, if you could see these display pieces
They're
behind
you. They're huge. Oh, man, it's so great.
But always great to see those displays. And it looks so good at retail, and it sells. The other point is that when you build those big displays, it sells through. So.
full circle on the call out Brett just gave is this is basically saying to our sales team, we have tools that can get you these displays. Come and see us in the marketing department. There's a lot of cool stuff from Liney to Coors Pure and beyond.
Yeah, let's get those tools out there. I mean, you guys made the investment in them. You made the investment in launching these brands, and you guys do a great job of getting this stuff out there anyways. And but yeah, specifically these Liney tools, we got some new ones this year that will look great on display.
Let's talk about some new Liney beers, specifically Lemon Haze.
That's
a splash.
It's we haven't had a lot of IPAs in the Molson Coors Beverage Company portfolio over the years, and so that's one that's coming in, and obviously doing it in the Liney style as a Lemon Haze, what the Liney consumer has come to know us for and expect from us. But yeah, it's one that I'm very excited about.
I'm excited about it too. I think it's on trucks this week. So if not this week, very, very soon. So I'm gonna have to look for it on shelves here very quickly.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, I knew we had an April launch, but I didn't know exactly when it was hitting the warehouse. Yeah, it's out.
it's out, guys. It's actually behind me too, Brett. You just can't see it. No, a lot of cool stuff from Liney, a lot of cool stuff from Blue Moon. Honestly, is there anything I'm missing that you want to talk about here?
You know, I think we hit on a lot of it. I mean, obviously, a separate podcast for kind of Hop Valley and what we have coming there.
Yeah.
That'd be the other big one in terms of innovation and new items and things that we're excited about this year that, you know, I think we'd touch on.
So we got Hop Valley, you mentioned, that's coming up here very soon. And that is kind of teasing that we do have on the books, at least right now, a standalone podcast to kind of delve a little bit more into that. Special guest on that one. Proof Point coming down the pipeline here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Hey, look at me
doing myself a service. We talked about the seltzers. Yeah. I didn't even touch on our third seltzer. So, Aaron, thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Don't want to let that go unnoticed. Yeah, so Proof Point is going to be an interesting one, you know, for us, and it fits a space within the seltzer category that's a little bit different than, you know, your standard seltzer. So it's one that is going to be a spirited seltzer. So it's got real spirits, real fruit juice. We've got it's coming in a 4-pack. We've got 4 different flavors. So we'll have a rum, a whiskey, a tequila, and a vodka. And it kind of sits in that, you know, from a consumer perspective, you know, what is it? Is it an RTD cocktail or is it, you know, or is it a seltzer? And, you know, it's positioned as a seltzer. So as the sales team's thinking about launching that brand in April and where to put it, you know, we want it out there with the seltzers. That's kind of where it fits because it's the ABV is 5%. So it's down in that in the same kind of ABV category as the seltzers. It's not, you know, it doesn't taste like a cocktail in a can. You know, while it certainly has real spirits in it, it tends to skew more that seltzer way. So, you know, and the questions come up, well, what is it, a seltzer or an RTD cocktail? It is a seltzer. And what we're excited about, it kind of fits a new somewhat of a white space out there in that category, as we talked about people continuing to innovate within the space and
sure,
and roll out new items. And the only one that I can think of that's out there right now to a degree of awareness is High Noon. So it would kind of
come in and
be positioned up against High Noon to a certain extent.
You know, we talk about Proof Point being like, well, is it an RTD or is it a seltzer? Kind of like a Liney Spritzen. Is it a beer or is it a seltzer? You know what? Why we got to pick teams?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I know why. Shelf space. But that being said.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got to really dig in on one team or the other to tell, you know, where should it go on the shelf.
Yeah.
But
you know, and as far as the imports go, Sol's moving. Peroni's moving.
Yeah, I mean, did you think I had something really insightful to follow that up
yes,
with?
Yes, I did. No, I'm kidding. I'm throwing things at you and just seeing what sticks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one. It's, you know, as we think about Sol and Peroni and the imports, I mean, we made a big push behind Peroni in 2019. It was kind of our national relaunch to a certain extent and went out and got a bunch of tap handles. The on-premise team here did great with that. We expanded distribution. We launched a 6-pack can for the off-premise and, you know, again, gained a bunch of distribution in 2019. And we were going to continue to push that in 2020. And obviously, a lot of things went off the rails in 2020 with what we could even bring people, as you guys are just trying to get beer out the door and get it out to retail, and especially during an environment that was very uncertain. So I'd say that, you know, to a certain extent, we pushed the pause button a little bit on that national relaunch, unfortunately. obviously due to external circumstances, but it's one that's still growing for us in a significant way, and one that, you know, we'll obviously continue to talk about more as we move forward, whereas maybe we had to, you know, scale that back a little bit in 2020. As we start to come out of this, you know, I think Peroni's one that we can get focused back on, start to get investment back in locally, and start to really build it, so...
You know, it's kind of one of the things whenever you have an interview like this where it's Molson Coors. Like, this portfolio is huge. We got a lot of ground to cover. So we spend a sentence on one, we go in depth on another, but at the same time, all of these brands matter, and they all are incredibly tasty. They move and they sell, and that's why we have them. Kind of the last one that I want to talk about a little bit is Revolver and the rebrand that they're going for with a look. I noticed on Molson Coors Behind the Beer blog that we got a new look, Blood and Honey, coming our way.
Yeah. So that should be hitting soon. So the whole brand has had a bit of an overhaul. The nice thing is, you know, with you guys carrying the two SKUs in Blood and Honey and Citrus Blonde, I think if you see them out at retail right now, they look a little similar.
A little bit. Sit
next to each other. So there'll be some more differentiation between the two of them. Revolver's also got some innovation coming that, you know, we'll have to talk about in a more meaningful way in Kansas City on sort of what we bring in and what we don't in terms of Revolver's presence in Kansas City. But definitely another brand that we haven't had a chance to talk as much about as I would like through 2020. And then it gets a little bit lost, quite frankly, in all the new items and innovation when you kick off the year in 2021.
Sure.
But it's out there doing its thing without us talking about it a whole lot. So it's definitely one that we have new news coming, though, on the branding and then whether or not we choose to bring in some of those new innovation items. And one that I think has sort of carved out a space here in Kansas City without us doing a whole lot with it.
There is a niche audience, and that audience is growing. It's kind of cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything else that I may have missed?
You're such a professional podcast host, Aaron. I think you might have covered all of the key topics here.
Well, that's good news for me. Maybe not the best for you, because now that we've covered the part that you get out of the way, it's not about you anymore, Brad. It's about me.
So do I ask you questions?
No, the exact opposite, and even worse. Brett, it's time. Butter up.
Five heavy hitters.
Five completely random, off-the-wall questions that require an answer one way or another.
Okay.
You ready?
I guess I have to be.
A little bit. Brett, question number one. Do you believe that aliens exist?
I do.
Why?
Oh, there's a follow-up.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these
have a, like, 1.1, 1.2 sort of question. They don't count towards the five.
I don't want to come off like a crazy person on this podcast.
No, how could you?
With my alien theories, because I got a lot of them.
It's not possible.
No, I don't really have any alien theories. I just feel like it seems like this world is so big, and there's so many areas that are unexplored, that there's got to be something out there. Plus, at a pretty pivotal point in my... my life, you know, as a young teen, I saw Independence Day.
Uh-huh.
And
classic.
And how can you not believe in aliens after seeing Independence Day?
the graphics have improved so much since 1995. And that's what did it for you?
Yep. It's my answer is, when you said why I should, the answer is Independence Day.
Independence Day?
Yeah.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
That's it. Why do aliens exist, Brett Lentz? They do because of Will Smith. Bill Pullman is president.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It is.
Never saw the follow-up.
Don't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Question number two. We talk about a lot of innovations that Molson Coors has coming down the pipeline in 2021, but I feel it would be amiss of me to at least not bring up some of the past that we no longer see out of the Molson Coors portfolio. Brett Lentz, if there was one beer you could bring back, what would it be?
One beer that I could bring back? You know, I'm going to go with one that maybe could be a possibility at some point.
Oh,
but,
the door's open.
For me, Batch 19,
okay.
I think. And we did bring it back here recently, I believe just in Colorado and Milwaukee, I think. Don't hold me to that, but we did bring it back.
I'm gonna.
And I guess we'll see how it does. I have no information on whether or not it's going to scale outside of that geography or not. But I think that's one that had a great story behind it. It was a good beer. And that's my answer.
I don't think you realize what you just did in making me so excited for this. Batch 19 is a fantastic beer. And for those that may not know, Batch 19 was a pre-prohibition style lager. And when it's pre-prohibition style, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way that I understood it was this was a recipe that kind of got lost in the Coors Brewery after Prohibition and everything that went down there. And they found it.
Yep.
And they brewed it. And it was like tasting a beer from the 1920s and before that. And it was just absolutely delicious. And kind of just got lost in the shuffle and shouldn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did a nice job explaining
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can tell I'm a fan. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited if that happens. I don't think I'm the only one. Maybe. Probably not. Especially if you're talking about a legit potential resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't know. I know we, you know, I know the two states and I know it's a small geography now. And I have no idea what's going to happen with it.
I need a more concrete answer than that. This is going to have to happen now. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it.
Press pause. I'm going to make some phone calls.
We'll get back to you. And we're back. Hey, it's happening. All right. Well, I'll move on. Question number three. Personally, I think most people that know Brett Lance knows he's a runner.
I am.
And whenever we say running, not just like, oh, I'm going to put on the shoes and go run around the block a couple times, or I'm going to train for a 5K. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's actively encouraged, actually. Brett runs a just insane long way. We're talking, what's the average here?
Well, the average runs during the week are pretty manageable.
Okay. What is manageable for Brett Lance?
You know, midweek, we're talking 5 to 6 miles with maybe a long run on Saturdays.
Okay.
All leading into a ridiculous amount, which is normally in an event that I've signed up for, something like that.
So yeah.
The longest I have run was this last summer. I went out to Colorado and did a trail run in the mountains in the Never Summer mountain range, and it was a 100K. So I think it was just shy of a 100K based on tweaking the route, but it was, I think we clocked in at 63 miles.
So it was 63 miles?
63 miles. That's the longest.
For the Americans listening in, 63 miles. Gotcha. okay. I guess that kind of harkens into my question number three here. How far is too far?
I'd say anything over 63 miles, because that was about too far.
Too much.
Yeah. That was a long, slow slog there at the end.
63 miles is a long drive.
Yeah, I think I found my ceiling.
That's crazy. All right, that answers the question pretty clearly. Number four, thus far in your life, seen some experiences, done some stuff, had some good times, had some bad times, made memories either way, right? If they were to make a movie on the life of Brett Lentz, who is narrating that movie?
Who is narrating? That's a good question. I'm just having your silky smooth voice in my earphones this whole podcast.
I'm not available.
Oh, you're busy. So I'm sorry. You're booked.
Yeah, I'm already booked up.
I'm
narrating Sheila's life. For her documentary. So you got to get somebody else.
I'm gonna go with Will Arnett.
Will Arnett.
Yeah.
Batman.
Is it? Well, he Lego, sounds like Batman.
Lego Batman.
Lego. Yes. Yeah, Lego Batman.
Yeah. All right.
I actually really like Will. Arrested Development's one of my
illusions. Michael.
My favorite shows of all time, and I don't want to make it sound like I listen to other podcasts other than yours, but
you can cheat. It's
He's got a podcast I've been listening to, and you know, you just hear that voice in your head over and over, and I think it, you know, whether he's doing a commercial or talking on a podcast, it's just it's a voice I can get on board with.
I get that, and you know, Brett, you can listen to other podcasts. It's just, you know, it's not better.
Right. No, no. I enjoy them all.
That's good. You've made it down to the final question. And the last question I have for you, it's really good that you got your phone and your laptop here so you can double check yourself. But Brett, I need to know, what is the last thing you Googled?
The last thing I Googled? you know, it kind of fits in with question number three.
Yeah.
I think I Googled good trail running socks.
Okay. That's actually, I shouldn't laugh. That's actually very important.
I had a gift card to REI from Christmas.
Very nice.
And I thought to myself, it's getting sunny out. I need to get some gear. And I think I looked up some reviews and I made a purchase.
What's a sock?
Right. W-R-I-G-H-T okay. is the purchase I went with.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, check it out.
I'm a Bodega guy myself.
I've also used those.
Yeah.
This is the part of the podcast when we go real deep on runner's gear.
Yeah.
When, if people haven't tuned me out already, they're really, really hanging up on me now.
We like to start with a really big audience and then just work our way down to like super niche three people. So that's where we're at.
Yeah,
this
podcast. Aaron, what kind of valve do you use on your hydration vest? It's real.
Oh man,
it's keeping the audience engaged.
We need to reel it back in. We need to start talking about beer. So yeah, Miller Lite is fantastic. I recommend it. 96 calories, worth it. Yeah, that's all the questions that I had, and I think everything's kosher on my end. Is there anything else you need to mention?
No, I think we covered all the grounds. You know, I just say I know, you know, with your podcast, obviously a lot of the sales team is listening, and I think just this is a great way to speak to them when I can't be in front of them during a typical sales meeting or anything like that. So kudos to you guys on creating this and being creative in the way that you can get this information out. And again, I just haven't had a chance to tell them thank you, you know, in person for the last year, you know. So I think when the pandemic hit, they were out doing their jobs every day when things were very uncertain, you know, when people were anxious, and a lot of folks still are anxious. They were out doing it every day and keeping this business moving forward, you know, along with our retailers. You know, we're somebody like myself, you know, obviously our breweries and the people on the front lines for us were doing their jobs, and you guys were out and about, and you know, there was some time there where I was doing a lot of work by email. So a big thank you to them for keeping everything moving forward and everything they do at retail with launching these new brands. And I know they got a lot coming at them, and I don't know how they, you know, I sometimes have a hard time keeping all our stuff straight, and they got to manage a lot of stuff. So, you know, appreciate the way they do it and the support they show Molson Coors.
It's very true. There are heroes among us. Thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, thank you.
And Brett, thank you for coming in.
Hey, happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Molson Coors and some running socks and everything in between.
For sure. I appreciate being here. I look forward to getting on the April calendar. Yeah.
Of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Keep talking for about 10 more seconds. I just want to make sure your volumes are right here.
Okay. Yeah, I think this sounds perfect on my end. I was a little loud in my own head. I'm already a little loud in my own head, let alone with...
That's fair.
Headphones and a microphone.